because that's why we gather together, and that's where our source for everything comes from. It's good to be together and worship, and there is something sort of that adds to who we are by being together, but that's not enough. We need God to be right at the centre of everything we do. And this morning, some of the songs that we've sung, or one of them in particular, said, "Open my eyes." And it's really important that we have an attitude of God opening our eyes, because otherwise we're living in our own knowledge, our own strength, and our own understanding. And one of the challenges, I think, about growing in God and journeying with him for a lifetime, because some of us have been on that journey for a long time, is to constantly keep asking God to open our eyes, because otherwise we're only living in what we've seen in the past. And God is bigger than us, and he wants to give us more than what we can imagine or think. He wants to break into our lives at every moment of the day, of every week, of every year. He wants us to go, "You're an awesome God," and live in that place of his awesomeness, if there is such a word. So this morning, as I'm kind of just talking, which is what I do, you say, "Who's preaching this morning?" And I go, "Well, I'm talking for a bit." But part of what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, is actually to help us to understand the greatness of God, but also how it works in our lives, because it's got to work. If it ain't working, what's the point? And so we've got to kind of allow God, as I'm speaking, because these are my words. Some of them will be scripture because I'm going to read them. But somehow the Holy Spirit has got to take hold of what I'm saying. It's got to be personal. It's got to be speaking into your lives. And so I just wanted to say that this morning. I don't know why, but I'm going to pray that God opens our eyes this morning as we just listen and understand. Father, we just thank you that you have got more for us than we could ever imagine, that you are bigger than what we think, that you are awesome in this place. And this morning, just as we listen to your word, just break into our hearts, break into our thinking. Amen. If you prayed that and you meant it, then expect God now to do something. One of the tests that... Can I just wonder for a bit? Is that all right? It's one of the tests that I have on my own life is when I'm listening to somebody, sort of 10 minutes after it's over, can I remember anything they've said? Because a lot of us can't. But the Holy Spirit can take hold of something and he can just keep reminding us. He can keep doing something in our hearts. And so I know that what I'm saying this morning, a lot of it will just kind of disappear. But pick something up and allow the Holy Spirit to work on it in your heart and in your lives. Otherwise, I might as well sit down and we can finish early. And I know some of you would like that, but I'm not sure. I want to talk to you about a phrase that we use every day, probably, amongst our family, amongst each other. And that phrase is, "I told you so." I told you so. And it's a phrase that we use usually when two people are trying to work something out. And we go, "If you do that, that'll happen." I told you. What did you expect? And particularly when we're living in families and we have children, because we're trying to train our children, we're trying to input into them about how to live life, how to include our values as believers, how to have a moral compass, how to work things out so that we're setting them up for a kind of a rounded adult period in their life. And so a lot of the challenges are, don't do that. If you stick your finger in the fire, it'll burn. And you go, "I told you." What else would you expect? And so that we have this kind of inbuilt way of thinking that when we impart something to somebody, we expect them to do it. Otherwise, we've got every right to go, "I told you so." But that's kind of a... When somebody says that to... Has anybody ever said that to you? My dad used to say it to me all the time. "I told you. If you do it like that, I told you. I told you." And it can actually have quite a negative impact, can't it? Because then you begin to think, well, what's the point in me thinking about anything, because my dad knows all the answers, so, you know. And we can be a bit like that, you know. And when we as parents are saying those things, we say it with the best of intention and best of heart, but sometimes it can have a negative impact on our children. I told you so. So maybe we've got to find a different way of saying that. But it is a constant battle in our lives about how to listen to other people so that we actually develop and grow. And so on a personal basis, we've got to decide whether we're going to listen to anybody else, whether we're going to allow them to input into our lives, or we're going to do it my way or no way. And some people live like that, don't they? They're unteachable, you can't kind of break through their thinking, and they just carry on doing the same things. And you kind of go, well, if they just did it this way, it would be a little bit different. But we make that choice in life as to whether we're going to allow people to speak into our lives or not. And that's a personal choice. We had an AOG sort of mini conference day a few weeks ago, and I was listening to the preacher, the speaker, who was encouraging us. And this thought just dropped into my heart, and so I've kind of developed that thought over the last couple of weeks. And I just think that God says into our lives, I told you so. I told you so. And the Bible is full of promises and full of directions, and God goes, I told you so. If you do that, that'll happen. I told you so. But I want to view it in a positive, not a negative way. So that when God speaks into our lives and says, I told you so, it's not a negative thing. Because I don't think God wants to bring any guilt or shame upon us. But he wants to reveal himself to us every day. And so I want to turn it around and look at the way that God will say, I told you so, in a really, really positive way. So I want to read, first of all, the first miracle of Jesus, which we find in John. And can you put that up for me, Cain? I'm going to come down here and read it, because I've just decided I wanted to read the whole passage. So on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus told his and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. When he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So I just want to focus on a couple of verses in there. And the first one is that his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. She didn't know what he was going to do. She wasn't aware that this was the moment he would begin his public ministry. But in her heart, she knew who Jesus was. And she knew that those around him, if you listen to him, something will happen. And so she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And because the servants at the wedding were obedient, it opened the door of opportunity for God to display his glory. And we read of the miracle that not only turned water into wine, but if we read verse 11, it's quite significant. It says, and his disciples believed in him. Now, I don't know what relationship they had before that. But at that moment, something opened their eyes, something happened in their heart, and they believed in him. And I believe that's one of God's, I told you so, moments. I told you. If you are obedient, if you do what I ask you to do, then water will be turned into wine, the eyes of the disciples will be opened, and they will believe in him. I told you so. I told you that I wanted to do more than what the circumstances dictated. I wanted to do more than what you thought was possible, but you've got to be obedient and do what I tell you. And then God goes, I told you so. And so the I told you so that God wants to bring to our hearts is one that if we do what he asks, he will do more than we can imagine or think. And he goes, I told you, just trust in me and you will see amazing things in your life. If the servants had had a bad attitude, have you ever been served by somebody who doesn't want to serve you? It's not a pleasant experience, is it, when you go out for a meal and they're throwing food on your table? Or they forget you, or whatever. But when you're being served by somebody that doesn't really want to be served, it's very unpleasant. And if the servants had had a bad attitude, and sometimes we can have this, who are you to tell me what to do, attitude, then the glory of God would not have been displayed. Because the water wouldn't have been in the jars, and Jesus wouldn't have been able to do the thing that he did. And it was crucial for the disciples to see the glory of God revealed through Jesus, because it just helped them in that next step of faith when they something opened in their hearts and suddenly they began believing in Jesus in a different way than what they had before. They were seeing the glory, the magnificence, the awesomeness of this God who they were working with every day. So there's a principle of faith here when we are obedient to Christ, no matter how we feel, and we allow God to break into our lives, revealing his glory in circumstances that you go, I don't know how God can do anything in this. It's impossible. And so this is the your bit now, where God might be breaking or wanting to break into your life in some way. I don't know what way that might be. I mean, it can be very practical. It can be emotional. It can be a spiritual need. It can just be a relationship need. And you kind of go, I don't know how God's going to do anything with this. But he can, and he will, if we trust him. The Bible is full of examples where people were obedient, even though it kind of didn't seem to make a lot of sense at the time. For those of you that were here a few weeks ago when Ian was talking about Peter walking on water, that awesome experience that he had. But he had to be obedient. He had to step out of the boat. He had to put his trust in what Jesus was saying and get out of the boat. And everybody around him would have been going, well, what are you doing, Peter? You can't do that. It is not possible. And so Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on water. We see the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 where Jesus challenged his disciples by saying, who's going to feed them? And they go, well, we can't. We haven't got. There's 5,000 of them. We've got no food. We've got no money. What can we do? And he was pushing their barrier because what he wanted to show them was that I told you so. If you trust in me, miracles can happen. And there was a little boy there, wasn't there, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he shared that with Jesus, or he gave it to Jesus, who did an amazing miracle and fed 5,000 people from just that small gift. And everybody there would have gone, whoa, this is an awesome God. And God would have gone, if you trust me, I told you so. I told you it was possible if you trust me. There was a blind man, wasn't there, that Jesus came across. And he put mud on his eyes and told him to go and wash his eyes. And he kind of go, why would you do that? What's all that about? But the obedience of the blind man to do what Jesus has said gave him a told you so moment, because he washed his eyes and suddenly he could see. There's a story in the Old Testament, and this goes from Old Testament to New Testament, all these themes that I'm talking about. Elijah came across a widow. It was a time of famine. And he just said, can you feed me? She said, well, I've only got a jar of oil and a little bit of flour. I've got enough to make one last meal before we die. That was where they were at. That was real famine. They were struggling for life. And this is what Elijah said. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. And here's the critical bit. It says, she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run out, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Wow. I told you so. If you trust in God, he will give you what you need. He supplies everything that you need. There was another story around Elijah of a Naaman who was a ruler, and he had leprosy, which was a disease that was incurable. Eventually you will die from it. It's very unpleasant, and it meant you had to live in isolation because it was a very contagious disease, and it is contagious. And one of his servants was a Jew who knew about faith and knew about Elijah, and said to him, if you go to Elijah, he'll heal you. He'll tell you what to do and he'll heal you. So he did. And Elijah said to him, go and dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. And Naaman said, I'm not doing that. It's a dirty river. Does he know who I am? I'm a ruler. He's telling me to go and dip myself 7 times in this dirty river. And he wouldn't do it. But one of his servants said to him, come on, give it a go. Give it a go. Try it out. Wash and be cleansed. So he says, he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and he became clean like a young boy. I told you so. If you trust me, if you put your faith in me and are obedient to what I'm telling you to do, you will have one of those moments where God just breaks in and goes, I've told you so. Because the heart of God is that he wants to reveal his glory in our lives. And sometimes we can be in really difficult circumstances and we don't know what to do and we don't know how God is going to break in. But he does if we do what he asks. Because he wants to have those moments in our lives where he goes, I told you so. Trust in me and you will just see amazing things. You will see the glory of God revealed in your life. I told you so. We use that scripture, don't we, in 2 Peter 1 quite a lot. I think you've got that one, Cain. Yep. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So the very heart of God is being revealed to us because he wants to give us everything we need. That's his heart to us this morning. He wants to give us everything we need for life. So that is the practical, everyday things. He wants to give us what we need to live. That's his heart towards us. And he also wants to empower us to live a godly life. Because in our own strength, we can't do that. We might have an understanding of God. We might have an idea of what it means. But we've got to ask him every day to empower us to live this life of a Christian. And it's all there. That's the heart of God. I want to give you what you need every day. And so he's a very giving God. But we've got to be obedient to receive what he's actually giving to us. He wants to say into our lives, I told you so. that if you trust in me, I'll give you what you need. Give me this day my daily bread. And he does. He gives it to us. So this morning, he wants you to have a I told you so moment. But not I told you so in a negative way, but I told you so in the heart of a father who wants to give to his children and go, I told you I'd do that if you're obedient. And you will have had those moments in your life, whereas as parents or when you're supporting somebody and you go, just do this. And it'll just transform your life. And they do it. And you are, as a parent, as a father, you go, wow, I just want to give them what they need. There are times when I have the ability to give to my children what they need, but they don't ask. And if they don't ask, I can't give. Even though I want to. In the natural, I want to give them, I want to support them in what they need, but they've got to come and ask sometimes. And that's what God is wanting us to do. To come and ask. Come and ask. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Come and ask. And then he gives him a freedom to work in our lives. So that we just go, wow. And he goes, I told you so. So do you want I told you so moment this morning? Listen to him, have your eyes and ears open, and just let him break into those circumstances that you go, that's impossible. But God wants to go, I told you so. Thank you for listening to me this morning.